Welcome to the Deep Dive. This is where we take a pile of dense sources, research papers, articles, your notes, and we really distill them down to their core, giving you a shortcut to, well, to understanding fields you probably didn't know you cared about.
And today, we're going deep.
We are. We're getting into some advanced mathematics that is completely transforming how we analyze complex systems. And we're specifically tackling this decades-old headache. What do you do when the math we inherited from, what, the 1930s?
That's right.
When it just fails.
It does. And that failure point, it's fundamental. Our sources really lay this out. If you look at the mathematical backbone of so much of physics, from classical mechanics all the way to quantum mechanics, it all rests on this one huge assumption.
Okay.
It's called the spectral theorem for normal operators.
That sounds incredibly foundational, but what does that mean in practice? Relying on normal operators, why are they the bedrock of everything?
Well, they're the ideal, mathematically speaking. They're desirable because they are easily diagonalizable.
Right.
Think of it this way. You have a massive, complex machine, thousands of interacting gears. Diagonalization is the mathematical trick that lets you reduce that whole messy system down into a set of independent modes.
So you find it's like natural frequencies.
Exactly. It's principal components that don't talk to each other. If your system's matrix is symmetric or Hermitian in quantum mechanics, the math is just clean. It's perfect reductionism. You break the complex whole into simple, isolated parts.
So for 100 years, physics has pretty much enjoyed the comfort of analyzing systems that, you know, behave themselves. We could isolate the mechanism, reduce it, and predict the outcome.
Absolutely. But the universe, especially when you look at complex dynamics, it doesn't always behave. And that brings us to the critical question today. What happens when systems are non-normal?
Or worse.
Or worse, non-diagonalizable, when that whole reductionist strategy just breaks down.
And this is what we're calling the curse of non-diagonalizability. You're saying that in real-world complex systems like turbulence, financial markets, biology, that inability to simplify is everywhere. It leads to these irreducible, entwined behaviors.
You can't separate the gears.
They're inherently coupled, and the math breaks.
Oh, it doesn't just break, it hits a solid wall.
Mm-hmm.
Your standard tools, particularly this long-standing thing called the holomorphic functional calculus, it requires functions to be, you know, well-behaved and near the operator's key values.
And when the operator is non-diagonalizable,
you get spurious divergences, errors, numerical noise, right where all the interesting physics is happening.
Okay, so that sets the mission. We have these messy, non-reducible systems, and the old math just can't handle it. What's the breakthrough in the sources that that gets around this curse?
It's an extension of that core tool, the functional calculus. Researchers have moved beyond that holomorphic approach to what's called the meromorphic functional calculus, or MFC.
Meromorphic. Okay, let's unpack that. If the old holomorphic calculus is like a, I don't know, a perfectly smooth paved road for your math, what's the meromorphic version?
Well, think of that smooth road, the holomorphic one, as only letting you calculate a system's response if your function is gentle.
Gentle.
Meaning it has no zeros or poles that land exactly on the system's own frequencies, its eigenvalues.
Yeah.
The moment a pole, a singularity, shows up right on an eigenvalue, the old math just shouts, error, division by zero.
So the division by zero error happens precisely at the most physically significant points of the dynamic. That seems like a huge problem.
It is. The meromorphic functional calculus is the machinery that lets us calculate the spectral decomposition anyway. It crucially handles those singularities of the poles or zeros that coincide exactly with the eigenvalues.
Hmm.
It gives us a structured, coherent way to get a meaningful answer right where the old methods would just blow up.
That sounds like a really powerful generalization. Why does this matter beyond the whiteboard, though? What practical insights does it actually give us?
It gives us novel insights, and this is the key, closed-form expressions in some extremely difficult areas. We're talking about memoryful stochastic processes, open quantum systems that are constantly interacting with their environment, far from equilibrium thermodynamics.
Fields that are usually just relegated to massive brute force simulations.
Right. And now we have exact analytic answers.
Okay, so to make this more concrete, let's talk about a key concept from the research, the Dresden inverse. It's written as a dollar with a superscript dollar. Before this calculus, the Dresden inverse felt like this. This highly specific, complicated tool you just sort of pull out of a hat.
It did, and it's a crucial operator in complexity theory. It's fundamentally a method for partial inversion. If you have a singular operator, one you can't fully invert, the Dresden inverse lets you separate the simple invertible parts of the system from the truly complex, irreversible, or transient parts.
So it's like a mathematical scalpel. It surgically isolates the complexity we actually care about.
Precisely. And within the meromorphic functional calculus, the Drazen inverse just arises naturally. It's not some special case. It's simply the -1 power of a singular operator.
Wow.
The MFC unifies this powerful tool within its general framework. It proves the Drazen inverse is just what you have to use if you want to invert everything that's invertible in a system with irreducible singular structure. It shows the math isn't just clever, it's necessary.
That's a fantastic example. So now let's talk about the ubiquity problem. You said non-diagonalizability is everywhere. If our listener is studying something outside of pure math, why should this curse matter to them?
Because systems we think of as non-linear and messy are often just non-diagonalizable linear systems in disguise. Take deterministic chaos, the famous Lorentz equations for weather pattern.
Right, non-linear dynamics.
Yes, but mathematicians can use things like the Rueil-Frobenius-Perron or Koopman operators to project that nonlinear flow into a high-dimensional, often infinite-dimensional linear space.
Mm. Wait, okay, let me get this straight off straight. We take a chaotic nonlinear mess in like a 3D space, and we trade it for a completely linear system in a huge abstract space.
That's the bargain. The dynamic in that huge space, what we call the metadynamics we use for analysis, is linear. But there's a cost. That resulting linear dynamic is almost guaranteed to be non-diagonalizable. It holds all the hidden complexity.
So this isn't some rare mathematical anomaly.
No, it's the generic fate of complex systems.
Can you give us some tangible, almost everyday examples of processes that are intrinsically non-diagonalizable to prove this isn't just something in abstract chaos theory?
Sure. Let's look at simple counting. A time-dependent Poisson process. This models everything from radioactive decay to customers arriving in a store.
Okay, very basic statistic.
The underlying dynamic that generates the Poisson distribution is described by a linear operator that is highly non-diagonalizable.
That's astonishing. Basic statistical processes we teach in intro courses are hiding this kind of spectral complexity.
Yes. The math shows the classic Poisson distribution is the signature of this simple yet highly non-diagonalizable dynamic. And the sources emphasize that this structure is robust. It's physically imposed by the rules of counting. It's not some fragile numerical thing that goes away if you tweak the model. It's built into the fabric of the process.
So non-diagonalizability isn't always a fragile bug. Sometimes it's the required blueprint for the whole system.
Exactly. And a second critical example is in prediction. When you, the observer, are tracking what you know about a process, say, you're trying to predict the next symbol in a sequence, your set of belief states evolves. That evolution is modeled by a linear dynamic called the mixed state presentation dynamic, or dollar.
The MSP dynamic, dollars. Okay, so I'm following. This is the space of everything you could possibly know about the system's past that's relevant for its future.
That's it. And the dollar, the transition map among those belief states, is typically non-diagonalizable. And this is profound. It means the inherent difficulty of prediction, the burden of it, is fundamentally tied to these non-diagonalizable features of your evolving knowledge.
In other words, the complexity isn't just in the system. It's in the interdependence of the updates to our knowledge. You can't just update one piece of your belief without it affecting everything else.
That's it. The spectral character of dollars is the fingerprint of that interdependence.
Hmm.
The non-diagonalizability corresponds to these intrinsically coupled updates, often linked to an initial fleeting moment where your uncertainty collapses as you synchronize with the process.
Okay, this brings us to the payoff. We have the generalized theory, the MFC. We know non-diagonalizability is generic. Let's see how this powerful math gives us those exact closed-form solutions for complexity.
We can break the questions down into genres. If you're just doing simple observation, like measuring correlations in a hidden Markov model, use the simple transition matrix, $2. The standard autocorrelation function is just a filtered signature of $2.
Okay, that's pretty straightforward. But what about measuring accumulation? I'm thinking of physics, where you have things like Green-Kubo relations that link microscopic dynamics to macroscopic properties like viscosity. That requires integrating correlations over infinite time.
And that's exactly where the MFC shines. Integrated correlations mean you have to calculate functions of singular operators, which is traditionally a mess. The generalized theory gives us these elegant, closed-form solutions for those transport coefficients. It shows a fundamental link between these physical properties and the Drazen inverse of the singular rate operator.
The Drazen inverse again. So if A physical quantity depends on the total accumulated effect of correlation over time. That mathematical partial inversion tool has to appear in the exact solution. It's like the necessary filter for that infinite time integration.
It is the mathematical filter. It surgically extracts only the structure that matters for the long-term physics.
So let's move to the most sophisticated genre, predictability and optimal prediction. This is where we use that MSP dynamic, TODOLAR. And this is where we get to calculate essential complexity measures like excess entropy or E$.
E$ is maybe the most famous one. It's the total historical information you need to optimally predict the future. It's the system's memory. And trying to calculate E$ exactly for any non-trivial system was a monumental task.
And the generalized spectral theory solves this.
It does. The closed-form solution for E$ is expressed beautifully using the Drazen inverse of the operator E$. And the formula proves that E$ only accumulates the interesting transient structure that rides on top of the dynamic long-term behavior. The solution is concise and exact. It replaces huge numerical integrations with a simple algebraic formula.
And related measures like transient information, $2, which tells you how much information you have to extract to synchronize with the process, they follow the same deep relationship.
They do. AD$ and another one, Zig$ for synchronization information, they're all fundamentally related. They just differ in how the eigenvalues of dollars are weighted. And the formulas prove a crucial point. A process's complexity is not just determined by its dominant, slowest decaying eigenvalue.
Which is what simplified models usually focus on.
Right. Instead, it's determined by the nuanced contributions of the entire spectrum of that non-diagonalizable operator dollar.
That feels like a paradigm shift. Complexity is an attribute of the whole organizational structure, not just its slowest timescale. And there's a famous example in the sources that proves this spectacularly, the random XOR process.
The RXOR process. It's the ultimate test case for hidden complexity. If you analyze it with standard tools, pairwise correlations, power spectrum, it looks like completely structureless white noise.
So if it has a flat power spectrum, a traditional physicist would just say there's nothing there. It's random noise.
Exactly. The structure is completely hidden in higher order correlations, way beyond what linear tools can see. But when you apply the complexity measures based on the MSP dynamic, Gueller's and the MSC, measures like the excess entropy.
They see it.
They detect the structure instantly and exactly.
That's incredible. So it's proof that this generalized spectral decomposition is capturing critical information processing that linear tools are completely blind to. We can now see the organized ghost in the machine.
It validates the whole approach. Systems that we previously dismissed as noise or that required impossibly complex simulations can now be solved elegantly with an algebraic formula.
This has been a fascinating journey. For you, the listener, the core achievement here is really clear. The meromorphic functional calculus and this generalized spectral theory give us robust, exact analytical tools to probe the intrinsic computation of complex systems. We've moved so far beyond the old limitations of normal operators.
We have closed-form solutions for complexity measures of hidden processes, exact thermodynamic coefficients, new frameworks for chaotic systems. The scope is just massive. It opens doors wherever non-diagonalizability was a roadblock before.
And the final provocative thought to leave you with, one that connects all this deep math back to the physical world. The fact that the entire spectrum, all the subtle non-diagonalizable contributions, manifests itself physically and measurably in things like excess entropy, it suggests something profound. The system's spectral character, the mathematical structure we once dismissed as an error code, isn't just math. It is the verifiable, measurable DNA of the system's hidden dynamics and organization.